Well, I was very suspicious from the beginning, because Obama was sold. In America, our entertainment and our news have become the same. We used to have news coverage and entertainment. Now all our news is entertainment. We call it infotainment.
Infotainment, yes.
Okay. And there's these really dumb programs that everyone watches, that Entertainment Tonight, Access Hollywood, all this fetishizing of stars, especially if stars become political. I mean, it doesn't make any difference who the star is. And I don't blame stars for becoming political. I mean, Richard Gere is doing good work for the Tibetans. I happen to know Richard Gere. We go to the teachings of the Dalai Lama together, but he's turned into a mechanism to sell entertainment. It's all capitalism selling commercials. And so Obama was produced as a phenomenon, as I don't know, like a rock star. And there was no content to it. There were the word change, a lot of good slogans, but not a lot of content. But then I got to reflecting, and I decided that that's the same thing with John Kennedy. John Kennedy was just empty slogans, a new generation, time for a generational change. A new decade. There was no content to John Kennedy either. So maybe it's not that different. And then I finally heard Obama speak on my campus. He spoke right outside my office, right? There was, I don't know, 6,000 people, something like that. And he was so smart. I mean, he didn't use any, well, he shouldn't use any notes after all the speeches he's been given, but you can see the quality of a man's brain when he speaks and how he thinks and how he thinks about what he thinks. He impressed me so much as just the facility to think through fine-grained ideas, and also his calm, his unwillingness to just run off on a tangent and get lost, but his ability to watch himself as he thought. I said, this is the first politician that I've heard speak in my lifetime, I mean, face to face, live, that I can follow. I mean, it was a transformation. His energy is very important. We have major problems everywhere. The whole world wants Obama to solve their problem. The Tibetans are hoping he'll solve their problem with China. The Indians hoping he will come in and fix all their problems. I mean, the Egyptians the same. Not to mention every village in Africa, so he knows this. And he wants to do as much good as he can do, and he's got a lot of energy to do it. Not only youth, but a lot of energy to put into his mind. So, and he's disciplined. He's pragmatic. Well, another thing that makes me trust him, or do you want to ask another question? I'm going
No,
to.
please go on.
Another thing that makes me trust him is a comment I made last night, and that is when he finished law school, he was given some offers for some very top firms in Manhattan. He decided instead to go to Chicago and work as a community organizer with poor blacks. That says something about the person. But even more important than that, he immediately found the two best community organizers in Chicago, who were organizing on the South Side under Saul Alinsky, who died at the age of around 80 in 1980, and 1975, maybe, say late 70s sometime. He was the most effective organizer of poor people in America. But Alinsky started out in New York. He organized upstate New York, the Kodak film factory. And basically, Alinsky had no agenda. He didn't have a Marxist agenda or a left-wing program or anything. He went in and he asked the people, what do you need to make your lives better and more meaningful? And he stayed out of it. He said, you set the agenda. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And whatever the people said he did, he taught his lieutenants, you are not to make any decisions, because every time you make a decision, you lose an opportunity to teach these people how to make decisions. And it's more important that they make decisions than the right decision be made. It's better they make a wrong decision, but they make it, than you make the right decision and they don't make it. This is the attitude of a community organizer who really cares about the people. And these two lieutenants Obama went to for in his initial instruction back in the 80s. How do I do this? What is community organizing? And he liked their approach because he's very pragmatic and the Alinsky approach is very pragmatic. So this gives me confidence in him as well. He wants change, but he's not being run by a blind ideology that's divorced from listening to people. Okay. This department is known throughout the world for being a leftist department, the sociology department at Trent. My department is also a leftist department. We edit the journal Monthly Review, which is the number one Marxist journal in the world. I myself am not a Marxist. I sometimes call myself a fellow traveler because I agree with some of the issues, but I'm not a Marxist. I'm a Buddhist, I guess I would say, first. And I find that many of my colleagues have great deal of humanity in the abstract. They want to help all the poor people in the world, but they can't say hello to the person in the office next to them. They don't have any compassion for the people they meet face to face. That's where compassion belongs, first. And Obama does. Now, some people on the left are criticizing him because he doesn't stand for anything, or stands for very little. It's a problem, but for the reasons I outlined, I'm saying let's just give him a couple years. He has to do, in my book, I'm not asking for a lot, but there's two things he must do. One, he must get out of Iraq. And two, he must set up a national healthcare system for the United States. If he doesn't do those two things, then the Democrats will lose the Congress, the people who voted him in will desert him, and he'll lose the next election. And I hope he realizes that. I'm not sure he does.